This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Hi, this is Zoe Gabrielson, your host of Green Talks, a weekly radio show where we talk about some of the sustainability initiatives that have been funded on campus by the Student Sustainability Council and other environmental and sustainability related projects. Today, I am joined by Lee Maynard of the Food Connection. Would you like to introduce yourself and what the role is with the Food Connection?
Hi, Zoe. Thanks for having us on the show. I'm Lee Maynard. I'm the faculty director of the Food Connection. It's a part-time role. I support the executive director, Lily Brislin, who does most of the hard work. I help with strategic direction, and there's a group that advises us that's through the Tracy Farmer Institute for Food and Sustainability and Environment, and I work with them. I help with writing grants. I work with UK Dining, work on putting on events. I coordinate a grant program that's focused on students also that I think we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, and I'm Kelly Walker. I'm their intern. I'm mostly helping Lily with planning a food summit where we're getting all of the local food professionals together to kind of make a plan and collaborate on how to make them more available in Kentucky.
That's awesome. So for our listeners who may not be as familiar, can you guys give us a background, maybe a little bit of history on the Food Connection?
Yeah, we're not that old. We only came about in 2014, and that's when UK went into a partnership with Aramark to take over UK Dining. And right around that time, UK Dining had been making all these strides in introducing more local and sustainable foods into campus, and people were a little worried that that progress would get lost, so a group formed to advocate for local foods on campus. And in the final deal, Aramark committed to phase into sourcing 20% of its food purchases from local farms and food businesses. And when I say local, I mean within Kentucky. So Aramark is a global corporation. They have a lot of food service accounts in universities around the country and in Kentucky. So this was a big deal to get this commitment. And in addition to that, they invested in the Food Connection, and along with the Kentucky Proud Partnership, that's what keeps us going. And the Food Connection is in the 90 itself, a new building. We're on the second floor at the top of the stairs. And if you go up there, you'll see that it's a big open space with a learning kitchen and tables for classes, meetings, and events.
Cool.
I should mention some of the other people that we have working there, too. So I mentioned Lily Brislin, and who's the executive director, and you just met Kelly Walker, our sustainability intern. In addition to that, we've got Chef Tanya, who handles the kitchen. She used to be a chef at the Holly Hill Inn. We've got Brian Brady, who does extension programming for us. We've got some help on our financial doings with Kristen Gwynn in Ag Economics, and Sarah Caton in Community Leadership Development does our photos, our social media, and our website.
Cool. So what would you say are the main goals of the organization? You talked a little bit about that, but some of the overarching goals.
Yeah, I mean, the most direct goal we've got is that we work with farmers and food processors and Aramark to get Kentucky foods into the UK dining system, but it's actually a much bigger mission than that. We're working with those farmers and food processors, working with retailers, consumers, state and local agencies, nonprofits, whoever's involved in making Kentucky's food economy vibrant and healthy and sustainable. So we're part of the land-grant mission. We're within the College of Ag, Food, and Environment, and the land-grant mission means we're involved in teaching, cooperative extension, and research. So that's a very rewarding part of that job.
Cool. So what are some of the services or the programs that are sponsored by the Food Connection?
So behind the scenes, we do the monitoring of UK Dining's purchases each month and reporting on their progress. And each year we put out a big report that gets picked up by the Herald Leader and is usually of great interest. But we're also working with farmers and businesses to find solutions to getting local food on campus. And those can be some pretty thorny challenges. We've got a lot of other programs going on the cooperative extension side. There's a Cultivate Kentucky program, and Brian Brady goes out and he meets with farmers and he helps them get GAP certified. GAP stands for Good Agricultural Practices. And that's a certification that farmers need if they're ever going to supply food to wholesalers or institutional markets, as opposed to something like farmers markets or restaurants. We do First Fridays, which, as you can imagine, is the first Friday of every month, bright and early in the morning, which Kelly helps us with. And that's more of a community and campus audience there, but we have fantastic speakers. The Food Connection met with every Gen 100 course offered in the fall. So Gen 100 is an issues in agriculture course that is an introduction to everyone in the College of Ag, Food, and Environment to a lot of issues going on. We do research. Right now, a project we're working on is this farm-to-loaf and farm-to-bottle project where we're trying to resuscitate growing heritage grains in Kentucky that are you would usually find being grown out in the upper Midwest somewhere. So that's pretty exciting. We've got events like Gathering at the Table, which is intended to address some of the food insecurity issues that every campus has, including University of Kentucky. We've got a ton of cooking classes and guest chefs and other events going on, too. One of the things that I'm involved with right now is our Student Opportunity Grant program. And we've got about $40,000 a year to use on research or other activities that involve students. So it's very wide ranging, and we're inviting applications for that now.
Cool. I actually, one of the first Fridays that I went to, it was for my sustainable agriculture class, was at the South Farm, and we did talk about GAP. We got to go around the farm and look at all the different ways that they did good agricultural practices. And then I actually, for my Gen 100 class, we went and did some kitchen stuff too. That's called cooking. I don't know why that word didn't come to me. Okay, so how would you say that the initiative bringing sustainability and local food to UK has impacted our university, or I guess kind of the community as a whole?
We've really made so much progress just in the last couple of years. A lot of efforts like this get off to kind of a slow start. And it was really just in 2018 that we feel like we were really hitting on all cylinders in terms of lining up local foods for Aramark to purchase for UK Dining. So we've got this goal that Aramark is going to purchase 20% of its food locally. But we're phasing into that, and we're up to about 17% now. Now, early on, we got some bad publicity because some of the local products that were being purchased weren't really viewed by most people as being true representatives of local or sustainable food. And that is, the contract was renegotiated, and we've had some really stellar successes lately. The two that come to mind the most that took shape during 2018 are the Salad Bar program, and that is organized through a food hub in northern Kentucky, where the director of that food hub, Elise Chalmers, organizes farmers to send their produce through her, and she makes sure that it's all set up in a way that's going to work well for UK Dining. And having that conduit from the farmers to UK is so important. And another program that's worked out really well is through Marksberry. And that's a whole animal program, and it simultaneously solves a lot of problems. A lot of farmers can't, they have trouble selling the less valuable parts of animals. It's always easy to sell the steaks, but what do you do with the hamburger? Well, luckily, a university campus uses a lot of hamburger, and that offers up a lot of opportunities to that helps both of us. It's a win-win.
Yeah, that seems like it could kind of cut down on waste, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the ways that students are impacted by the Food Connection? And maybe you could talk about this, Kelly, because you are obviously having student impact yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely through the Gen 100 class, students get to come in and see what we're all about and really get to see food on the plate. Because I just started in January, I haven't been around for a whole lot of student activity, but I've heard through different people, like one of the really rewarding parts of being a part of the Food Connection is getting to see the connection between students and food, especially students that maybe don't make homemade meals that often. They get to learn some basic skills and feel encouraged to go home and take that with them and maybe think about purchasing local foods in the process. Yeah.
That's cool. When I was living on campus my freshman year, it was really nice to be able to go and do the Food Connection for my Gen 100 class because I couldn't really cook a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I like missed having like cooked food.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So Dr. Maynard, do you have any insights on the student impact?
Well, one of the things I see a lot is the progress that the student workers make in the Food Connection. So we've got anywhere from, I don't know, 3 to 6 or so student workers at any given time working there. And some of them have been there since they were freshmen. And they may not have started out with a lot of skills in a kitchen like this, which is almost like a commercial kitchen. But now they're experts, and it's shaping the careers they're going to pursue. Probably, one of my favorite examples is Victor Helmus, who's about to graduate. And we had an event in the Food Connection where he and his mother were the guest chefs, and they taught us how to make real Hungarian goulash. And the whole meal, it was wonderful for everyone and just very inspiring to see.
He's actually a member of the SSC, too. Yeah. Okay, cool. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back and continue our conversation with Dr. Maynard and Kelly, and we'll catch you in a little bit. All right, we are back. Today we are talking to Dr. Lee Maynard and Kelly of the Food Connection. So we've been discussing some of the student impact and campus impact of the Food Connection, and we're going to continue talking about that. And you're listening to Green Talks. So for either of you, what makes you passionate about the work that you do with the Food Connection?
Well, for me, I'm a natural resources environmental science student. I'm really passionate about climate change and what comes with that, as a lot of people know, is local foods. It cuts down the carbon emissions of transporting the food to you. It helps with the local economy of agriculture, and it's just all around. I try to implement it in my own life, and so I really enjoy getting to learn about that through an internship with the Food Connection.
And for my part, I think one of the best parts is just the wide range of people I get to meet and learn from in the Food Connection. You know, my other day job is in the agricultural economics department, and so I work with a lot of economists and students and people related to farm and food economics. But this has been a much wider experience for me. I get to see a lot of different perspectives and ways to look at things that are new to me. And seeing the university having a really beneficial impact outside of academia helps a lot. That's motivating for me, too. And plus, just the positivity of all these people who are united in their goals about local foods and sustainability.
Okay, awesome. And Dr. Maynard, you are an agricultural economics professor. You were previously involved in... You were the chair of the Department of Agricultural Economics.
I was, yeah. Yeah, a lot of signing of forms.
Yeah. So how has your background in ag econ related to your current role? Like, how have your experiences that you learned while you were in ag econ maybe impacted your job now? And has your job now kind of given more insight, like you kind of were talking about before?
Well, it has really broadened my perspective. I came into this as someone who is interested in local foods, but you couldn't say I was an evangelist for local foods. And economics gives me a whole system for thinking about how farmers and food businesses and we as consumers get benefits for local foods. An example of that is the distinction economists are always making between private goods and public goods. So private goods, there are plenty of business incentives to sell those things. But local goods include some sustainability outcomes that are very hard to make money from, and they have these public good aspects. So trying to think about how we can get those public goods while at the same time satisfying everyone else's needs in their business or as consumers is a big challenge.
Okay. I'm on the quiz bowl team that Dr. Maynard is the coach for, and we talk about public goods and private goods a lot. And you are an NRES major, is that right? Mm-hmm. How would you say that your studies are kind of bringing something to the table for this role?
Well, like I said, a lot about climate change. Like when we take NRE 201, we learn a ton about climate change and how all of our emissions and things affect the earth. And part of that is food, and a lot of that is also composting. And I've done some writing for the Kentucky Kernel where I've explored some of that. And it's just really brought in my passion to like all of these different sections of things that are contributing to climate change. And so this is just one of them. Yeah.
Okay, cool. What would each of you say that you're most proud of with regards to the work that that you have achieved in your role and that the Food Connection has achieved overall?
I think in my case, just being part of building the infrastructure for local foods in Kentucky is what I'm most proud of. And those examples I used of the salad bar where this food hub emerged, or in the case of the Marksberry program, you know, for years, we always struggled to get those middle pieces of a value chain in place. One example of that is meat processing in Kentucky at a small scale. So to finally see that being successful after so many years of investment and striving to just get by, now it's really taking off. And UK is part of that. UK is a very large purchaser of food. And I think this agreement with Aramark is essential to that infrastructure being built. I guess another thing I'm proud of is the way the learning kitchen combines hands-on learning with what you would think of as traditional classroom learning. Doing both of those at the same time is so much more effective, and people enjoy it so much more.
I'm actually really thankful for the way the Food Connection, specifically the people out there like Lee and Lily, who have supported me in the things that I want to, like the skills that I've wanted to sharpen for my future professional career. Like, I'm really interested in communication and breaking down complicated things for other people. And one way to do that is through digital design. And so I've been able to kind of figure out how to use those skills, even though I haven't learned any of that through courses, through working for them, which has been really cool. I'm working right now on figuring out how to use video equipment and incorporate digital design to just take complicated things and break it down for other people. So that's really cool.
Awesome. So with that in mind, what are some of the challenges that y'all have faced in your roles?
Something I guess I should have expected, but I never did, was just how amazingly complicated an institutional food purchasing program is. So a big purchaser like the University of Kentucky works with mainline distributors like Sysco or Piazza, and they have a lot of requirements about what you can buy, what you can't buy. Getting a new vendor approved into their system can be really difficult. And there have been times where I thought, oh, I've got it. This idea is going to be great. It's going to work for sure. And once you start getting into the weeds on some of these issues, it just falls apart. So anytime you can get a victory, it feels that much better when we're getting local foods in that don't necessarily fit into this institutional buying system.
Some challenges for me, because I've mostly been involved with administrative type of things, is small stuff like trying to organize a mail list that's been kind of messed up in the past, or emailing out to speakers and communicating with other people to get stuff back from them to plan a whole summit. Yeah.
That'll be great skills for later in
life.
That's another great example of how student impact is created by projects like these. So you've mentioned what you're most proud of. Are there any other kind of rewarding experiences or things that made you go home at the end of the day with a warm, fuzzy feeling, maybe?
I think for me, just seeing the needle move on getting local foods into UK is a big reward. And I'll give one example. We had a big meeting several months ago where we had all the Aramark accounts in the room at other Kentucky universities. I mean, that's like EKU, Western, Morehead State, University of Louisville, and so on. So we had representatives from those universities. We had Aramark managers, including some from corporate in Philadelphia. We had the operations managers from the Fresh Food Connection and Champion's Kitchen. So we had a lot of people in the room, and we were trying to find ways to extend some of the successes we had at UK to these other universities in Kentucky. And like a lot of challenging things, once we got talking about it, more and more barriers kept coming up, and I thought, oh, this is going nowhere. But at the end of the day, everyone from all these different incentives and perspectives rallied, and we came away with a decision that Aramark was going to approve certain types of purchases at these other universities and get them into their systems. So I really enjoyed the way, working with people in the private sector and the public sector, we were all able to accomplish something at the end of the day.
Yeah, I have to say that all the work from people before me is really inspiring and just wonderful to see coming in as a new intern and being shown through the dining halls that this is local, this is local, this is sustainably sourced is like, wow, that's crazy. That makes me super proud to go to this university. That would be mine, yeah.
Okay, so we like to talk on this show, as listeners might know, about the three pillars of sustainability. And so for those of you who don't know what those are, it's economic, environmental, and social. And typically when we're reviewing proposals for the SSC or in any other context, we like to think about those three pillars because a truly sustainable sustainability initiative addresses all three of those things. Because if you're blind to one of them, your project's probably not going to be truly equitable. So how would you say that the Food Connection has achieved some of those three pillars in its day-to-day or over kind of the long term?
Yeah, I mean, this is something as an agricultural economist I'm super interested in. And I'll start with the economic side, because when you ask people in surveys why do they buy local food, the most common answers are to support local farmers and their local economies, and because they believe the local food is fresher or higher quality in some ways. And local food as a source of economic development is really interesting because, I've been playing up how much local food is being purchased at UK, but flip the script a little bit. If we've got 17% of food being purchased from within Kentucky, that means 83% of the food is, on campus is coming from not Kentucky. And it's even more extreme when you look at the food system in general, such as your regular grocery shopping. So how does economic development happen? I mean, it's small enough scale that we're not really talking about adding tons of jobs or contributing to tax rolls, but here's how it really does happen. Local food is part of a lively downtown in a lot of places. It helps give restaurants an authentic way to distinguish themselves. People shop at neighboring businesses when they're at the farmer's market. It's easier to recruit new businesses to come into your town when they can see that it's a happening place that they can be proud to live in. So there are all these spin-off effects in terms of economic development. And then, is local food higher quality? Well, it depends. It can be fresher in many cases. some food products, I think you can make a really strong argument that it is higher quality. Tomatoes would be one of those cases. And we're starting to work on local grains. So I can mention bread. You know, the bread you get in a supermarket may look similar to bread made by a local bakery, but in many ways it's not similar at all. You know, the commercially produced or industrially produced bread, there are a lot of shortcuts that are taken to speed that process up. And it can harm the flavor, it can harm the nutrition, and it can make your blood sugar spike after you eat it. So
those
really
all sound
are
great
some
to me,
issues.
Actually. That's totally what I would want in my bread. The other thing that I just thought about that a lot of people cite when they're talking about why they would go to like a farmer's market or directly buying from a farmer is that you start to build those relationships. And so, you know, if you go to the farmer's market every Sunday, for example, you may kind of build that rapport, and then the farmer might put some of the really nice, you know, produce aside for you. So that's also kind of a cool thing. And you get to know the people that are growing your food. Okay, so let's talk more about this after the break. We're going to talk about the future of the Food Connection, and we're going to have Dr. Maynard and Kelly tell us more about ways that students can get involved. This is Zoe. You're listening to Green Talks, which is a local sustainability-related radio show, and we are talking to some folks from the Food Connection today, and they are going to tell us more about how the Food Connection's work addresses the social pillar of sustainability.
So the social aspect of the Food Connection, I think, really connects with the individual actions on going to the farmer's market and creating connections with the people that are providing food for you, which is something I'm personally really passionate about. I think that it's just on like a personal human level, it's a really fun way to just like slow down on the weekend, and like you can go bike to the farmer's market. There are plenty of options in Lexington. You get to know the people that are supplying you food, especially with meat. I think that that's really important, to know the person and the place that that's coming from. I personally have a farmer. I'm from Louisville, and I have a farmer in Louisville that I meet with once a week to get a half gallon of milk, and it's the best. I love it so much, and I feel like it tastes even better than from a milk carton from the store. And so I just think for like a personal, honestly, mental health, just slow down and take the time to just like have a really good morning and go get yourself some local food, but also on the sustainable food level, it supports that. Yeah,
I think it's a mistake to think of food just in terms of its physical attributes. Like Kelly was saying, there can be so much more. And when people buy local food, they feel like they're more a part of their community. When people sell local food and they actually get to interact with their customers, they feel that their job is more meaningful. So I actually think that's one of the biggest benefits and elements of sustainability with local foods, is that it adds so much more value to the food. And then the third pillar is environmental sustainability. And I think in this case, I mentioned that the scale of local food is pretty small compared to the overall food sales. So we might need to temper our expectations a little bit on actual environmental impacts, but local food production is correlated with producers who tend to want to conserve natural resources. And in the animal products, they tend to want to give animals a higher quality of life. And that can make a big difference.
The food doesn't have to travel as far too, which can cut down on emissions. Okay, so what are the future projects that you guys are looking forward to working on, or issues that you're looking forward to addressing?
Well, I know Kelly's going to be working on a food summit that's coming up in late March, not too far from now. Probably the one that I'm going to be most focused on and I'm really looking forward to is our small grains project, where we get to work with farmers, maltsters, brewers, distillers, bakers. It's very exciting and great group of people, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, and for the food summit, we're, as I said before, we're hoping to get together some professionals for that are in the local food industry kind of within Kentucky. And we're hoping to create a collaborative atmosphere so that we can all make connections and learn from each other and share our common information and then go back into our places in Kentucky and keep doing some awesome work. And my personal role in that is, as I said, the administrative work, but I'm also going to work on creating some summary videos of all the speakers so that other extension agents can take a look at that and learn from it, even if they weren't present.
That's great. So kind of in that same vein, where we're talking about resources for people, if students are interested in learning more about the Food Connection, if they want to get involved, or if they're just curious about what you guys do, how can they learn more about that?
I'd say the easiest thing you can do is just stop in. We're at the top of the stairs in the 90. You can't miss us, and there's almost always someone there. Or if you're on the web, just Google something like UKY Food Connection, and we'll be the first thing that comes up. Lily Brislin's email and my email are in the About Us section. For students who want to get involved in sustainability, although it's not directly a part of the Food Connection, Kelly and previous interns with us have come through the Office of Sustainability internship program that's run by Shane Tedder and Jennifer Taylor and has been really beneficial to a lot of students. We've got our Student Opportunity Grants program going on right now, and we're always looking for great ideas that involve students for research or other programs, outreach, really just about anything. So if you went to our website and clicked on Education and Students and clicked on Student Opportunity Grants, you'd see a link there that you could click on for all the details. And then I would also take a look at our Facebook or Instagram pages too, because you can, when you see the great photos that Sarah Caton has taken and put up from all our events, you see that we've just scratched the surface here today in terms of everything that's going on at the Food Connection.
Okay, awesome. So do you have anything else that you'd like to add about the Food Connection or things that people need to know?
Well, I'd just say take a look at some of the events coming up. Keep an eye out for them and give one of them a try. If you've never been to a cooking class, I think a lot of people have a lot of fun with those. Groups have a lot of fun with those as well.
Cool. All right. Well, we have talked to some people from the Food Connection today, Lee Maynard and Kelly
Walker.
Okay. So thank you. Yeah. And if you guys are interested in learning more, as Dr. Maynard said, people can Google Food Connection UKY, and that'll take you to a page where they can. Does that sound good? That would be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can find out more there and find out more details about how to contact the Food Connection as well. As always, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or song suggestions, you can call in at 859-257-9735. We're going to get back to the music, and thank you for listening to Green Talks.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.